But for change, some have requested to have the news at the beginning of the day. The late news bulletin has it that the Virginia Republican senator who had won the runoff on a reactionary platform has just been killed in an airline crash with two other reactionaries who were a part of the New Hampshire governor who is neo-fascist, and that's being kind. They were part of his impeachment campaign that has already gained a million signatures demanding the impeachment of Andrew Young for treason. He has been killed in a crash somewhere in Virginia. He was the Virginia senator-to-be, Republican, right-wing, reactionary, ran on a racist platform. We're never happy about people suffering because there are always innocents affected. But at least we're glad that the news does not mention that some socialist has gone down in tragedy. Even moderate circles have stated this morning, according to the Voice of America, that they are gravely concerned about Carter's announcement for rebuilding of the inadequate air raid shelters as a dangerous development. When coupled with the Air Force's development of the land-based MX Mobile missile, which many perceive as a first strike weapon, the civil defense push, according to moderate senators, signals the emergence of a U.S. policy to build the capacity for fighting a first strike nuclear war. The decision also comes amid a sharp stepping up or escalation in Cold War rhetoric by the administration. Many are exhibiting their concern. Even Paul Warnke and Harold Brown of the Defense Department. Paul Warnke is the President's chief arms negotiator, has shown reluctance in a television interview to give endorsement to the so-called emergency fallout shelters. Of course, capitalism has always shown its absolute unconcern for people, and the superiority of socialism has been clearly proven in the Soviet Union by the massive complex of underground shelters, as well as China, mainland communist China, which has provided for underground cities, even though it's a new revolution. Indeed, we have points of disagreement with Soviet, with the Chinese foreign policy, but we are gladdened by Chinese aid to Zambia, who has stood up to U.S. imperialism's encroachment on African independence, as well as their economic aid to Tanzania and the brave President Nyerere there. Moreover, we are made glad by the kindly reception that the Chinese Deputy Prime Minister and delegation gave to our people from the headquarters. They praised our cooperative as a pure form of communism. The People's Democratic Republic of North Korea's ambassador said, in praise of Jonestown, that we have reached a place that North Korea hopes to attain, the elimination of the monetary system. They will be
Go ahead.
Many of the future planned visitors. We were also praised by the regional minister, Minister Carmichael, in a public gathering. He stated that People's Temple, our boat, our small boat, the Cudjoe, as you know,
okay,
we purchased
Roger.
A new freighter also as a means of helping to defray our heavy burden of expenses. The Cudjoe has been making the run up the river from this Port Kaituma to Port Mamaruma to our store, helping all of the commerce of the area. He praised us in front of all the people at the public gathering, and he praised us at the government celebration of the socialist referendum for the royal support and loyal support we have given to Guyana. He has been the most reluctant to give commitment and support to us, but he gave unqualified support. The central government has been very, very supportive, and for that we are grateful, and we are most heartened by his kindly statements, not in private, but in public, in front of all, praising us for our assistance to Guyana. Indeed, this move this morning about fallout shelters is a grave one indeed. As I said, the superiority of socialism is proven because the Soviet Union for years has provided massive, hard-shelled, hardcore protected underground centers, and China underground cities that reach out even 100 miles from their main cities, whereas the United States has absolutely nothing. It's a circus. It's a hypocritical farce. These so-called bomb shelters, forsaken in the mid-1960s, they're stale now. They aren't even able to keep the rain out. But now Carter is trying to hearten the American people and to replenish capitalist business by selling, would you believe, the same kind of nuclear fallout shelter that was sold in the 50s. That's the emphasis that he's given on that type of shelter, which the Federal Emergency Management Agency says is absolutely fraudulent. They will not work. They would not even aid people with a natural, ordinary disaster, much less a nuclear disaster. The spreading of fallout shelters across the country in the 50s and 60s sparked the emergence of a mass protest movement, the precursor of the anti-Vietnam War movement. Let's hope that sleepy, apathetic USA can be moved. The news does not say anything of public protest. It is obvious that the socialist systems are superior in that they provide shelter for their citizens, whereas capitalists, who always talk about the obvious probability of nuclear war to protect property, have not provided one underground defense shelter for their ordinary populace. The only shelter they have is Iron Mountain for Rockefeller and his contingency, and the underground shelter in Washington for members of Congress, but they cannot take their companions down in it or their children. That alone proves the superior morality of socialism. Of course, you must know the doctrine of three worlds that China has propagated that has merit in reference to hegemony, know the doctrine of three worlds, know the three worlds, what they constitute, and it's based upon the absolute acceptance by China that nuclear war is a reality. And the doctrine of three worlds attempts to bring about at least a constructive socialist world on the aftermath of that nuclear holocaust. As it is now, even BBC admits that 700 million of the billion population in China could come through a nuclear war, whereas 90%, over 200 million of the United States population would be dead in the first 17 minutes of a nuclear war. But the days of protest are not with us, and unfortunately, in the apathy, the despair, and the passivity created by television, the hopelessness by the killings, the selective assassinations of Kennedy, Martin King, Malcolm X, the despair by seeing police stories where always the white cop wins and the minority loses, has created an atmosphere of robot-like existence. I wanted to give you that late news bulletin. There seems to be a capitulation, said even the Voice of America, to the Baki decision. Little are known resistance, little or no resistance is now being evidenced against the white supremacist or racist decision over the UC admission of a white medical student in Davis. The ruling turns the anti-racist efforts on end. Across the nation, the 26th state has put Proposition 13 in a roller coaster effect on its ballot. Proposition 13, as you know, in California, eliminated virtually all SSI for poor people on Social Security, all jobs for blacks and minorities, as Nell said just before she came. All the radio and televisions of California were quite open about the fact that the minorities and women would be the first to go, and they're going down the drain. Governor Brown had to utilize all of the surplus for this year alone. California over many years had built up $5 billion, $5,000 million of surplus. It will all be spent. And after that, there will be no CETO, there will be no affirmative action programs, there will be no welfare services, no Medi-Cal, no Medicaid. Old people will be placed out on the streets. They're already being done. We've been asked to take an elderly black lady who's not a member, who's being put out along with 200 others right now in San Francisco from a nursing home. She doesn't have her right mind and is totally paralyzed. That sounds incredible, but if you don't believe it, get on the radio tonight and check it out. Postal worker strike brought to an end by threats of U.S. Army intervention. A new right wing wave of anti-abortion statutes are appearing, referendums and legislation in 33 states outlawing abortion. You can see the right wing in this kind of thing. Bell, according to BBC, the Attorney General, should face jail because of his contempt of the court order in the Socialist Worker Party case. The highest law enforcement official in the USA is found in contempt of court. Basically, whether it will be upheld by the court is another matter. This seemingly implausible event took a step closer toward reality today when a federal judge ordered Attorney General Griffin Bell to release government files on 18 FBI informers. Bell refuses to do so, and he says he will not. Federal District Judge Thomas P. Grisea in New York City says the Attorney General is in contempt. It is doubtful, however, that the former member of the Ku Klux Klan, who's now the highest law enforcement official in the USA, will ever go behind bars. The order stemmed from a $40 million suit by the Socialist Workers' Party against the FBI for government criminal harassment and criminal illegal spying and surveillance against socialists. As part of the suit, last year, Grisea, ordered the FBI to turn over the files of 19 of the 3,000 FBI informants, many of them not even paid. Interesting note that of the 10,000 FBI informants over the last 30 years, some 8,300 are now dead. I wonder why. Things get in one's way. Many of those, like Stone, who is praising us in blazing headlines, saying Jim Jones is the greatest humanitarian that ever lived, then when threatened by frame-up by Marvin Swinney, he immediately turned coat out of fear, a little bit of fear of jail. My, what a small price for a socialist to pay. Jail would be nothing. But it scared Stone until he has now become a criminal beast trying to please, living in a dirt cheap tenant apartment. We know all about where our enemies lurk. He has money to pay for the conspiracy, but little benefits him. The police do not even trust Finks or informants. Just as in Nazi Germany, when the elements that assisted in the murder and the pain of it, I repress so much I can't think of the name, but you know those who tried to be the Uncle Tom and Aunt Janes amongst the Jews, the Capos. Hitler ordered before his death that they be castrated or marked so that the Jews could find them, kill them for their dastardly betrayal of their own people. Nobody trusts a Fink. The NAACP, who just last year was bragging about being a part of the Big Four, big government, big business, big oil, and big minorities, now, with the new racist outburst, which even BBC admits, Oxnard, California, is in control and the police by the Ku Klux Klan, Ku Klux Klan meetings and headquarters and Nazi headquarters are in every U.S. major city. I guess it's a bit frightening to the NAACP, and the Uncle Toms have turned. President of the NAACP, Benjamin Hook, blasts U.S. sickness. The National Association for the Advancement of Colored People's head. His leader, the leader, Benjamin Hooks, attacked the rising racist right-wing forces in the USA. Hooks, entering his second year, he's formerly an FCC commissioner and minister. In his second year as National Executive Director of the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, charged, we see a neo-fascist blanket of racism that quietly but steadily creeps over our nation. Many of those forces would rather see us in concentration camps, or at least back on the plantation, and reduced again to second-class citizenship. At press time, however, the NAACP board, said the New York Times Foreign Edition, had taken no concrete steps against the neoconservative or neo-fascist blanket. I mean, there is nothing but vacillation and fear in the American mood these days. Hooks also took the opportunity to criticize the Supreme Court's decision of the Bakke decision, taking a more critical stance than that issued by the NAACP board, of course. He also said that Proposition 13, being modeled all over the nation now in 26 other states on referendum, will help white racism and help them to destroy the poor and denounce this sickness in U.S. society as appalling. Well, there's no end to news. I've had so little sleep in many days, I will not go further with it. As again I say, commentary you are responsible for today and yesterday. The one on Bakke's decision today, the one on youth crime yesterday, and just the synopsis in our town forum agricultural meeting on Tuesday night for Friday night testing. That gives you an exact, precise outline of what you're to study. All other news that you get will get you bonuses. And those bonuses of time off are very, very worthwhile. The whole community has had several mornings off in the last 2 days, 2 weeks, and Sundays. We're grateful for time off. Now we need to produce, as I said, as never before, as a sword of Damocles begins to hang over our heads, the natural stepped-up process. First, the smear of the press to ready the mood of the public for civil suits, which we've had. Fraudulent, false civil suits in the millions. Now, criminal suit pending criminal charges against some of our beautiful leaders. Frame-ups. We will soon have to bring all of our people here. So let's make ready in this beautiful land of promise, where we have clean air, no cancer-causing ingredients in our food or our meats, no fear of having to lock our doors. That's why we must all cooperate, save as much as possible. We have 101 houses to get built. a storehouse, warehouse that has to be built immediately for over 100 crates are coming in on dock. Our two new trucks have arrived, as you know, and the expenditures are overwhelming, and the money in short supply. So think of new measures like Ken Norton making the beautiful scrub broom, an ordinary domestic broom, household broom. Think of ways to make money that they're doing in the store, Tommy Johnson, Patricia, Patty, and Ravina, Bikeman. Save everything you can save. Think of how to use everything. Don't waste, don't break things. Pick up around us as we have guests coming. The Prime Minister said he was going to drop in any day by helicopter. We also want to say a fond welcome to Francis Johnson and Nina Downs. Good workers, we're so happy to have you. We're sorry that Francis had to come in an air of alarm, but we're grateful for the miracle. Unfortunately, Ricky did not follow a guideline and stay with his crew, with the group. He's a woodcutter. He went out in the wood, in the jungle alone, which I've warned against, and he got lost for 25 long hours. A panther brushed right by him. We've never had a panther on this premise in our residential sector. We've never been bitten by a snake. They never come out of that jungle. All was considered lost. But prophetically, paranormal-wise, in spite of all my legal counsel, he said we need to bring in the army, but I didn't want to do that. Would have put a great burden on them. I certainly would have done so, although the government itself has said it's hopeless when someone gets lost in the jungle. But miraculously, as you know, on that last 25th hour, I gave a call. He was able to follow the sound. He was able to find his way back to freedom, unharmed. And that we're grateful for he's been a very, very good worker. But do follow rules of safety. Never venture away from your working group. Never go out into the jungle alone. You may think you know your way, but inside there is the most dense jungle, most beautiful untouched area left in the world, rich with wild boar, wild bush cow, all kinds of edible meats, but you must go with hunting parties and our Guyanese resident like David, who knows it, or myself,
that
has a natural intuition. Don't venture alone. I dare tell you, don't venture alone.
Who's going out?
Some have it, some don't. Steven has it, a little intuition of it.
Where's it going, over?
But you must not go only with your work group.
Where are they going?
So we're grateful for these who have arrived, and be thankful. Because we must speedily get our people to freedom. Because the handwriting is on the wall. Don't mourn over anything back there. There's nothing there but death, decay, decadence. Where else can we go to bed without locking our doors, without fear of our children being castrated or raped, our seniors being mugged, our homes being set afire, some 81 cities in the last 2 months have had nothing but anarchistic outbreaks of arson. We had one of our own senior citizen homes in our churches twice, and even the community center meeting three times set afire by racists. Think of the freedom we have from fear. No racist police coming in, making us spread eagle, as Nell was telling me this in the early morning hours while she was making a radio broadcast about 3 or 4 o'clock, and Kay, young people doing nothing in college, middle class blacks, spread eagle every minute in U.S. cities these days, for no pretense, the car gone through, ripped through, the clothing. We don't have to have that racist stare anymore. Our children don't stutter or stammer. We don't have to have the neglect of American medicine that we found with 30-some of our people that gone through the most extensive hospital exams and they didn't find cancer, and yet we found them here and saved them in the nick of time. No, they did not care. America did not care. Please, all people, see the Swedish broadcast in English taken of U.S. cities called the Golden Years. It is required. Ask to see it on our televisions. It shows rich, white, black, people of all color as they're old, and how they say their life is worse than death, worse than hell. It graphically portrays it. A picture is worth more than 1,000 words. It's a must. We must have a common level of knowledge. Why so much emphasis on knowledge? Because without knowledge, we cannot have the sense of community. A people united cannot be divided. We don't expect everyone to have the same ability to learn, but we are grateful that we were only able to see 4 hands, or 5, that were still having difficulty in reading or writing, whereas we had dozens when Jonestown was first set up. We have so much to be grateful for. Look around you at the beauty, breathtaking beauty, clean air. Our children did not have a day of hope. They had to enter gangs. They were pushed into dope. You see in youth crime the hopelessness youth openly stating on the television that I gave as commentary required yesterday for all on the test. Yes, we know we may go to the gas chamber. Yes, we know we'll end up in jail or maybe shot by police. We don't care. Not a day of hope for our children. Over 1 out of 2 black youth, 3 out of 4 Indian youth be in jail before 19. Suicide, the highest cause of death amongst both black and Indian youth. Think of what we've been freed from. Our children have hope. They have a black country, a place where they can grow. There was no hope there. Never knowing when the nuclear war would come or the concentration camps. In that television documentary on ABC, the congressman from Pennsylvania openly called for work camps, concentration camps, because of so many minority youth involved in crime. No solutions, just put them away, get them out of sight. The same kind of resolution that Hitler's Germany made. And then finally, when the camps were too crowded, the gas chamber. We've got much to be thankful for, and we need to be thankful, because that mental attitude keeps an aura of protection, an epicenter of protection. Thank you. Much love. Commentary is required by everyone. There is more speaking of news than normally, but this is direct communications of the policies of Guyana in its role against imperialism. Dr. Reed is the chairman of the People's National Congress and the deputy prime minister that single-handedly made it possible by making all sorts of maneuvers to allow us total free immigration and the things that we needed to build Jonestown. The representative of his office addressing a rally supporting the reunification of Korea, the Democratic People's Republic of North Korea, of course, is a Marxist-Leninist state and has entered into many trade agreements with the government of Guyana. Comrade James is also chairman of the General Workers Union, a union very supportive of the government. The regional chairman of the PNC, also representing the government, was present, as well as the Ministry of National Development in the International Affairs Desk. Comrade James gave the following address. He talked about this being the end of the month of programs for reunification of Korea. South Korea has been held illegally by the United States imperialist and its puppet fascist regime dominated by U.S. capitalism. Guyana Committee for Solidarity and Peace, that has been given full endorsement of the government with the communist government of Korea, is separate from this committee now for reunification, but both stand for the same thing. This committee includes the trade union movement, the People's National Congress, the Women's Revolutionary Socialist Movement under Comrade Burnham's wife, who leads the Women's Revolutionary Socialist Movement, the YSM. He said Guyana is building a society opposed to capitalism, an anti-imperialistic society, and our best friend is a nation like the Democratic People's Republic of Korea that has had the bravery, though small, to stand up to U.S. imperialism as it did a short time ago when it captured a spy ship and even risked nuclear war when USA threatened to bomb it out of existence but would not give the spy ship back. You no doubt remember the news. Comrade James, prominent GWU, General Workers Union official, and government official, representing Dr. Reed. Reed is black. He gave a background, said Kim Il-sung, the glorious Prime Minister of North Korea, who is worshipped in a sense because it's necessary to have a strong leader in the transition from socialism into the purity of communism. Kim Il-sung's grandfather was involved in the struggle against U.S. imperialism. A U.S. spy ship was captured in the 1800s and burned, and the people on it were slaughtered by the brave Koreans led by the grandfather of Kim Il-sung, who is the absolute representative of the people, the dictatorship of the proletariat in Korea. The North Korean government, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, is a democracy. Total justice. They live in cooperatives. They live very modestly. And they are very, very supportive of Jonestown. They flew over it and called it a model of communism in this hemisphere. When the Japanese were defeated by Korea, said the People's National Congress, our ruling party, in the United Nations, when the Japanese were defeated by Korea, the United States in the United Nations wanted sanctions against the Koreans and used this as a fraudulent pretext to get U.S. intervention. The United Nations was influenced by, of course, the monopoly capitalist, the Trilateral Commission, controlled by the ruling class elite in USA, and therefore supported the resolution, and on this pretext, the U.S. entered by fascist aggression into Korea. There is a military museum in Kua, 9, K-U-O-N-A-N-G, showing some of the things done to Korea. U.S. wanted the rich minerals of Korea, the manganese, the iron, the abundant supplies of gold, and wanted cheap labor and materials. June 1950, war against United States by North Korea. Hu Jie is the doctrine or the central idea of communism. Juche. It's J-U-C-H-E. Juche idea is that man is his own creator, can create or destroy. Potential of man to be great and do great things. This is the central theme and doctrine of the leader of the only representative government of Korea, the People's Democratic Government of North Korea, Communist North Korea. Potential of man to be great and do great things. Korea went through 36 years of Japanese rule and torture of its people. U.S. then occupied it by its military aggression after World War II. The Democratic People's Republic of North Korea has been able to whip up tremendous support for their struggle, said the government of Guyana to its spokesman, Comrade James. United States, for every 10 North Koreans, there are 9 military people in South Korea. Sophisticated military equipment, nuclear warheads, and the neutron bomb. He said that it is also in South Africa. Guyana government said it is in South Africa also. That is the neutron bomb. They openly call it the nigger bomb, as it would only be used to thwart black people in their struggle for liberation in the concentration camps that USA has set up in the Union of South Africa. Could not exist without the $1 billion this year that has been poured in by our tax dollars that causes us great guilt. Never once whites, the Union of South Africa, said the Guyana government, never once whites to have to be equal to blacks or allow blacks to have self-rule of their country. He said in South Korea there is a massive unemployment. Prostitution, extraction of minerals has been intensified. Increased actions of propagation by the United States imperialist against the North. The Democratic People's Republic is our best friend, said the representative of Dr. Reed and the government of Guyana. We need to see the acts of imperialism as they are. They are consistent in every part of the world. The Cubana disaster, for instance, that's why we've had difficulty getting in to the interior, because Guyana Airlines have sent their own youth to the great youth festival in Cuba, at Havana. These acts are to silence us in building a socialist society, when our only group of doctors that were going into the interior, the barefoot doctors as they call them, willing to be part of the people, were blown out of the air in the fall by the CIA. There are only 20 million people, said the PNC spokesman in Democratic People's Republic of North Korea, but there is the principle of self-reliance, and we too in Guyana can make the same progress despite attempts of U.S. imperialism to halt it. Other PNC people besides Comrade James have been visiting regularly in the Democratic People's Republic of North Korea. The DPRK had meetings for this month of solidarity in Berbice, Esquibo, Linden. In the Korean War, more bombs were used in North Korea than in the 1939-45 war with fascism all through Europe, and all the bombs hailed on the Soviet Union. Yet the brave people of Korea withstood and North Korea managed to maintain its independence. 30 years later, the country is more than rebuilt. All scars of war have been removed under the strong leadership of the dictatorship of the proletariat of the Honorable Kim Il-sung, the communist revolutionary leader who has led guerrilla battles ever since his youth and is now approaching his 70s. So children can always look forward to long life. Many great socialists, Marxist-Leninists, and communists have lived long, fulfilling, and healthful lives. We'll be seeing the North Koreans in the future because they greatly admire our commune. They produce 15,000 tractors a year. Saves on the foreign exchange. Guyana is now lucky, said the PNC, to produce 500 a year. Comrade Sinclair, another spokesperson, who is also in the government and representing the government of Guyana, he then followed the address at the public rally.